The companions divided up so that each of them would travel with a different group. As the slightest in stature and musculature, Jack and Dean were singled out for the two groups that had the smallest Amazon warriors. Mildred, JB, and Christy each took a group. Ryan would be with Gloria. He and the Warrior Queen would lead the main assault on the elevator shaft that should lead directly into the Illuminated One's lair. Doc would travel in a group with Margia. He was already eyeing the easy way in which he was fondling a laser blaster.
Do you think you will really get the opportunity to use that monstrosity?
I hope so, sweetie. If not, well, I just may have to make that chance.
With the groups now assembled, Gloria once more took her position at the head of the camp, with Ryan and Doc close at hand.
Now that we're in combat groups for the battle ahead, it's time to talk tactics. We're lucky enough to have discovered, via Doc Tanner, that we have a map to this building that lets us see all the entrances into the places below ground, where the Guardians of the Gateway have based themselves. They don't know we have this, but they know we're here. So we'd have to be complete stupid works to assume that they don't have every entrance guarded, except maybe for these.
She beckoned to the groups, including Jack and Dean and the most petite tribe members, to gather closer. The other groups moved in behind, allowing those indicated to gather at the front.
Right. Pay heed and pay it well. There are passages marked out on here that have nothing to do with the elevator shafts and emergency stairwells that the Guardians will expect us to find. What did you say they were, Doc?
Doc indicated the faded blue ink that marked some passages on the aged map and traced with his index finger.
Every redoubt, which is what they called these places in the days before the nuke cost, was equipped with its own air conditioning and purification plant with which to take in contaminated air and clean it for the consumption of those living beneath the surface. Although the plant itself should obscure the way into the redoubt, this is not actually the case, as the supposedly airtight seals dividing some sections of the shafts are not exactly that airtight. It is strange how the greed that could cause Skydark could also cause those who created it to overlook the simplest safety precautions. One backdraft, and the air purification system would be shut to oblivion. Ah, the vagaries of the human condition never cease.
Big words, Doc. Stick to point.
Of course, Jack, of course. My apologies, my friends. The point being, of course, that it is possible to break through the partitions and gain access from here to here. And by entering this shaft, we find ourselves in the interesting position of being among the maze of service shafts and tunnels that run between the levels of the redoubts and behind walls. These will allow the selected groups to move freely along and around the forces below ground, using the service grills as points of observation and exit, and leaving plenty of scope for surprise attack on the enemy.
That's why I've selected the smallest of us. The shafts and the access to them will be pretty difficult, and no one's pretending that it's the best way to enter combat. But as you all know, there's no easy way to fight, and your size will enable you to access areas that others can't. The gods alone know that I'd join you, sweeties, if not for my position as queen. I must join Ryan at the head of the firefight.
I appreciate that. And if it's okay with you, I'll outline the rest of the plan.
Go ahead. It's your and Doc's plan more than mine. You guys know these places. We don't.
Right. Well, these are the access points here. The stairwells have heavy sec doors, and the elevators are large with sec locks. They move fairly rapidly, but the one thing we have to do is check for sec forces hiding on the roof, ready to fire on us through the access and service hatch. We know about this because we've done it to other sec forces. Isn't that right, JB?
Yeah, number one rule. If there's a sec hatch, then check the fucker before getting into the line of fire.
Right, people. The stairs will probably be guarded at the blind spots in their curves, and the elevators open onto corridors that will have perfect cover points for the defending force, so we have to be careful. These will demonstrate.
Ryan took two pieces of paper from Doc, on which the old man had made brief maps of one stairwell and one elevator opening.
These are general, but the design of these places is such that they hardly ever differ from level to level, redoubt to redoubt. Don't take this as the absolute truth, but heed the general lesson.
The One-Eyed Warrior took some time to explain the different angles of defense and attack, making sure that he was understood on each point. Finally, he was ready, and indicated that to Gloria.
Right, my people! It's time for us to take our destiny in both hands. Don't fuck it up.
The main party left the lobby. Ryan cast over his shoulder a terse reminder to the raiding parties headed for the service ducts and entrances to shoot out the sec cameras as they went down the corridors. It was possible that the enemy might guess their intent, but it would be a stupid move to let them actually see it through a camera carelessly left working. Gloria and Ryan headed their party down the main corridor, as it was wider, with dulled remnants of plush marble fittings lining the route toward the elevator sectors at the far end. The walls were bereft of any other doors, with no offices leading off, as there were from the lesser corridors. There were only 3 set cameras along the 150-yard route, all spaced at regular intervals. All of them were fairly visible and low, with little attempt to hide them.
They want us to know that they know we're coming. A pretty stupid works move if you already know that.
And we do. The third camera was claimed by Gloria's Vortac, by which time they were almost on top of the elevator. The Amazon Queen and Ryan exchanged glances as they reached the elevator doors. Gloria assented with a brief nod, and Ryan tapped in the set code that was used in all military installations to open the elevator doors within a redoubt.
That was too damned easy.
There you are, it's not by chance.
Best believe nothing to chance, then.
As one, Ryan and Gloria stepped into the empty elevator car. It was huge and had recesses to each side of the door. Gloria swiftly covered these with a Vortac, but both were empty. Ryan had meanwhile reached up and thrust hard with the stire at the service hatch on the roof of the car. It gave way easily and was knocked backward on its hinge. He waited a second. No response. Instinct told him that any reaction to the hatch flipping back would have been instantaneous, so he went up and looked. The height of the elevator car was only half a foot above his head, and he could easily reach up and grip firmly on the ledge around the hatch entrance. Flexing his powerful biceps and forearm muscles, he was able to lift himself up with one arm. He sprang up from his toes to propel his shoulders through the hatch, his free arm still gripping the stire before him. Using his propped elbow to pivot, he swung his upper torso around to scan the area. The roof of the car was empty. With a grim smile, he dropped back to the floor of the elevator.
So they missed on that chance, yeah?
So far, so good. Let's hope they're that slack all along the line.
The rest of the group soon joined them.
Better get ready now.
Ryan waited until the warriors had drawn their hand blasters and had their blades in hand, then keyed in the set code for the elevator to descend. The door shut, and the elevator began to drop at a steady rate. The gate warriors, who were not used to such tech, exchanged worried glances.
It's just the speed at which we're going down. Don't think about it. Concentrate on what's about to happen.
The elevator soon hit the first level, just as Ryan had punched in. It slowed suddenly. Ryan inclined his head toward the warriors at his rear.
This is it, people.
Christy, you take the door, as you know the codes. Shit, I really hate old tech.
The Titian-haired beauty grinned as she passed Tammy and punched in the set code on the door. The women headed an 8-strong party that had taken one of the elevators to the rear of the building. Along the way, they had taken out a number of set cameras.
Shit, the number of cameras we've shot out, they're gonna know exactly where we're headed.
I don't know. The good thing is that we'll know they'll be waiting for sure. No doubts, just decisive action.
Decisive action, that's exactly what we need. This waiting's fucking getting to me.
Just stay frosty with it, Tam.
You got that right.
Doc and Margie's party had already secured their elevator and were headed toward the first level. Doc had the Lamar loaded and the sword stick unsheathed. His eyes were wide, fueled by adrenaline. The blonde armorer was staring at a fixed point just in front of her, above the head of the Amazon who preceded her out of the elevator. Margie had a Browning high power in one hand and a Panga in the other. It was similar to the blades Ryan and Gloria carried, and the blonde had taken this one and honed the edge to a razor.
Sweetie, anyone gets in the way of this baby, they're gonna wish they'd run in the other fucking direction.
She raised the blade slightly in the crowded elevator. There was a manic gleam of bloodlust in her eyes, but it wasn't the Panga that was causing Doc concern. It was the captured laser blaster that lay across the woman's shoulders, hanging easily on its strap. The blonde had insisted on bringing it along, despite JB and Doc's attempts to dissuade her. If anything, their implications had the opposite effect, making her more determined. She noticed the direction of Doc's gaze.
Yeah, babe. And if they get too far away for a nice piece of honed steel, then it may be a nice idea to just cook them up some, yeah?
Doc looked away. Margie's laughter, still tinged with the edge of madness, rang in his ears. As the elevator hit the first level and swung smoothly, it crossed Doc's mind that this was going to be interesting.